The hockey arena has been Brenna Jensen's second home since childhood. As the daughter of Brier University's head hockey coach, she's developed a thick skin and razor-sharp wit, with her trademark red lipstick serving as both fashion statement and emotional armor. When Jake Connolly, Harvard's star forward and her father's sworn enemy's prized player, slides into her booth at Della's Diner after she's been stood up, their chemistry is immediate and electric. He carries himself with the easy confidence of someone used to commanding attention, his dark eyes studying her with an intensity that makes her pulse quicken. Their first encounter sets the tone for their relationship, combative, charged, and complicated. Jake demands she stop hooking up with his teammate McCarthy, claiming she's distracting him. "I don't take orders from Harvard dickheads," she tells him, watching with irritation as he devours apple pie with obscene pleasure noises that affect her more than she'd like to admit. What makes their attraction so compelling is the forbidden nature of it. Her father would view it as the ultimate betrayal, while Jake is laser-focused on winning the championship and securing his future NHL career. Neither can afford distractions, yet they find themselves gravitating toward each other in crowded rooms, exchanging loaded glances across busy cafes. Brenna's dream of becoming a sports journalist collides with the entrenched sexism of sports media. Her interview at HockeyNet exemplifies this discrimination. Ed Mulder repeatedly calls her Brenda, questions why a pretty girl wants to work behind the camera, and makes condescending remarks about female applicants' supposed technical deficiencies. The systemic nature of gender bias becomes apparent when news breaks about a hockey player's domestic abuse arrest. Mulder abandons the interview to cover the story and dismisses the female analyst, claiming she might give it a feminist bullshit spin. This moment crystallizes how women's perspectives are often labeled as biased, while male viewpoints are presumed neutral. What's remarkable is Brenna's unwavering resilience. She recognizes that sports journalism isn't merely unwelcoming to women, it's actively hostile. Yet she refuses to abandon her passion, displaying pragmatic determination that feels authentic rather than idealistic. "I'll have to deal with men like Mulder throughout my career," she acknowledges, steeling herself for the challenges ahead. The father-daughter relationship between Coach Jensen and Brenna forms the emotional core of the novel. Their interactions are tense, with Coach Jensen speaking to her curt, impatient, and unforgiving, unlike the tender father who once called her Peaches after her mother's death. When flooding forces Brenna to move home, their strained dynamic becomes unavoidable. "I hate that he still sees me as that self-destructive girl with poor decision-making skills," she reflects, suggesting past troubles created their rift. The breakthrough comes when Brenna confronts her father, apologizing for her teenage pregnancy and admitting she believed he was ashamed of her. His response reveals he was never ashamed, but traumatized by finding her bleeding, which reminded him of identifying her mother's body. "You're the spitting image of her corpse," he confesses. His emotional distance stemmed from fear of losing her, too. "Hockey is a game. You're my life," he tells her, opening a path to reconciliation. Eric Royce exemplifies how promising futures can unravel. Once a celebrated first-round NHL draft pick, his life spiraled into drug addiction after breaking up with 15-year-old Brenna. Missing practices, appearing intoxicated at games, and failing drug tests destroyed his NHL prospects. When Eric calls Brenna during a 3 a.m. meth binge, Jake and Brooks help locate him. They find only a hollow shell of the former athlete, gaunt, trembling, with dilated pupils and track marks. This encounter forces Brenna to confront her complicated feelings about his downfall while giving Jake insight into her past. Eric's storyline demonstrates how past relationships leave lasting imprints. For Brenna, he represents more than failed first love. He embodies a painful chapter she can't close, partly because she feels responsible for his decline. For her father, Eric marks when he lost trust in his daughter's judgment, creating years of strained communication and overprotective behavior Brenna still resists. When Brenna impulsively tells her Hockey Net interviewer that Jake is her boyfriend, she's forced to ask for his help attending a dinner party. Jake refuses payment but counters with a proposal. He'll be her fake boyfriend if she agrees to go on a real date with him. At Mulder's dinner party, the fake relationship exposes industry sexism. While Jake joins the men for hockey talk, Brenna is banished to the sitting room with the other women, highlighting how her extensive hockey knowledge is dismissed because of her gender. The pretense forces both characters to confront their true feelings. Playing a couple requires physical closeness that blurs fiction and reality. After dinner, when Jake suggests getting a drink before heading to the station, their facade begins to crumble. "I want to kiss you," he finally admits when she challenges him to state what he really wants. Jake Connelly embodies the conflict between professional ambition and personal connection. As Harvard star forward with a guaranteed spot on the Edmonton Oilers, his future seems set until Brenna Jensen enters his life. His breakup with Brenna highlights this struggle. "I can't be a hypocrite," he explains, having made his team sacrifice distractions for playoffs while not giving up his own, her. Despite being smitten, Jake suggests they cool it, prioritizing his career. Ironically, ending things to avoid distractions backfires. After the breakup, Jake becomes distracted during practice, slower on ice, and mentally unfocused, exactly what he was trying to prevent. This cleverly subverts the sacrifice love for career trope, suggesting that compartmentalizing our lives often causes greater dysfunction. Through Jake's journey, we see how definitions of success evolve. While he initially separates his hockey career from his personal life, he gradually realizes true fulfillment might require integrating these aspects rather than dividing them. The novel's title carries multiple meanings. Initially, The Risk appears to reference Brenna's potential relationship with Jake, a Harvard player whose team rivals her father's. "Nothing good can come from sneaking around with Jake. My father would kill me, my friends would revolt, and my career is on the line," she acknowledges. But the true risk emerges as something deeper, the courage to be vulnerable despite past hurts and uncertainties. For Brenna, who's been burned by Eric and estranged from her father, opening herself to Jake represents a leap of faith. For Jake, who's always prioritized hockey, investing emotionally in Brenna means reconsidering his life's priorities. The climactic moment comes when Jake realizes breaking up with Brenna was the biggest mistake of my dumbass life. His determination to win her back shows his willingness to risk his carefully constructed plans for something meaningful. Sometimes, the greatest risks aren't about breaking rules. They're about opening your heart when there are no guarantees. The most meaningful victories occur in choosing love over fear, connection over isolation, and the complexity of relationships over the safety of solitude.